6 minutes after 4 South African time on this beautiful Mubarak Friday morning, which is also the 29th of Rabi'ul Awal, 1443. We cross over to our beloved Ustad, who is in Umhlanga early this morning. Let's welcome him, inshallah, into the program. Ustad, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We praise Almighty Allah alone for this wonderful day of Jumu'ah Friday, the 29th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1443. Today, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 58. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informs us, I alone am in control of this entire universe. I am the only Khaliq and Creator. I am the exclusive Malik and owner. Wa im min qariyatin, hence there is no city, there is no town, there is no country. Illa nahnu muhlikuha, but if we want, we will decimate it, annihilate it, destroy it. Via floods, via hurricanes, via fires, so many different ways we see. And today also we see how many thousands and millions of people get killed in wars and so forth. Illa nahnu muhlikuha qabla yawm al-qiyamah, before the day of justice. So remember, there will be the day of judgment, the day of justice, but there will be the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life, the trials and tests of life. Wa im min qaryatin illa nahnu muhlikuha qabla yawm al-qiyamah aw mu'azzibuha azaban shadida. Oh, there will be a severe punishment, whether we admit it or not. You take our petrol price, diesel price, a punishment for us. We see safety, security gone from us. I am sitting here in Umhlanga, mashallah, on one pillar here. Like a small pillar, I made it my mimbar, my pulpit. And one side, I can hear the ocean. The other side, I can hear the chirping of the birds. On the other side, I admire the flora and fauna open under the skies. So these are the bounties and favors of Allah. But what about that families that don't even have a square meal? What about that family that doesn't have a shelter over their over themselves? So imagine that you see what is happening in this world. So Almighty Allah is teaching us, O human being, kama tadinu tudan, as you do, so you will be treated. Remember that. And Almighty Allah has warned us, so kafarat bi an'umillah, when the people become ungrateful, unthankful to the ever-recurring bounty favors of Almighty Allah, فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ, then I will give you a taste of hunger, poverty, and you can see millions of people unemployed, retrenched, fired. وَالْخَوْفِ, and you live in fear. Keep on looking behind your shadow, behind your back, on the right, left, that what is happening, how many gadgets we have. بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ, because of their own actions. So action and reaction, cause and effect. So Almighty Allah states, kana zalika fil kitabi bastura, all this is already decreed and written in the book. the book, the Lawhi Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, where all Allah wrote and instructed the angels that you write, everybody, everything's destiny from day one, right till the last day, doomsday, the day of justice. So remember, all this will happen. So me and you must beg Almighty Allah for afia, for safety, for comfort, and Almighty Allah's divine protection. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Yesterday, Hafiz Basra picked me up. After Maghrib, we went, we read Maghrib Salat here, and then we went to Shaka's Kral. Wonderful, wonderful program. We must place on record our sincerest thanks to all the brothers, sisters, children in the Shaka's Kral area, the masjid, especially our Mawana Ismail Manga, and the meal he gave after the program, mashallah, Hakit Yafat ko ada kar diya. He went out of his way, and his family, Allah reward them, and our imams up there, Maulana Zakariya Dadan, Allah Ta'ala reward him as well. Today our program, inshallah, will be as follows. Once we are finished with you, Maulana Arafat, then we'll be going here to the Pearls Muswalla. So I suppose they want some jewels there, so we have to give them some pearls of the Quran. So inshallah, Maulana Zakariya, Maulana Abid's son is the imam there, so he'll come just now and take me to the Muswalla here, inshallah. Thereafter, inshallah, for 11 o'clock, 11:05 South African time, we will link up with Makkah Mukarrama, the Sheikh there that delivered the khutbah, the sermon and salat to be Sheikh Faisal Al-Ghazawi. We will translate it, inshallah, on Radio Al-Ansar, Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, and the dua also. Then 12:10, we will link up, inshallah, with the masjid there in Newlands, where Moana Padia is, and that is the Basa Masjid. And inshallah, in that way there, then there'll be lecture, and then khutbah, and then salat, inshallah. And then inshallah, a third time, we will be in Masjid al-Nur, Ashawal, where Moana Immutala and Ama, our day brothers, Aslam day son, mashallah, brother Yusuf, getting married to Masiha Randeri. So the nikah will take place, and that is our brother Ahmed Day's nephew, mashallah. May Almighty Allah bless the nikah. So we'll be there a third time, inshallah. After Maghrib, after sunset, we request each one of you, remember today is the 29th of Rabiul Awal, we should scan the sky this evening after sunset, after Maghrib, and it is 19 hours and few minutes, so inshallah it's 50-50 chance, but if the horizon is clear, then the moon and the crescent, the new moon will be sighted, then we read Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin, Ya Allah, make this month of Rabiul Akhir a month of khair and goodness for us, our families, and the entire Ummah Muslimah, and wa rushdin, and a month of righteousness. So inshallah, that's our program for today. And mashallah, the weather here is wonderful, beautiful in Umslanga. Barakallahu fik.
The brother says, Ya Ustad, the dear Honorable Mufti Saab, I am selling firecrackers, Ustad, to Muslims and non-Muslims. But of course, Muslims who are buying from me, they are reselling it. But Mufti Saab, I'm not celebrating it, remember that. But if you are saying if it is haram, then what about DVDs, hookah, cigarettes, television? That's the first question. And the second question, he says, Ustad, can he tell his friends that Happy Diwali, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let us understand few rules that are mentioned in the Noble Quran. Rule number one, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned Surah 5, Chapter 5, Verse number 2, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. You must cooperate and assist with one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not cooperate and assist with one another in sin and transgression. Number two, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ, that the non-Muslims, they are the friends of one another, they are the protectors of one another. Third one is, certain things are known as sha'air. Sha'air are the symbols. You take in Islam, the mosque is our symbol, the azan, the call to prayer is a symbol, the month of Ramadan is a symbol, everybody knows about it. So once you come to the symbols of people, whether it is Diwali, whether it's Christmas, whether it's New Year, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, the New Year of the Jews, so any way for us to participate in that, remember, is totally haram and unacceptable. Now let's answer your questions. You are selling firecrackers, fireworks. Last night I was there in Chakas Kral, and the way the firecrackers were going. So I told the people just when I started the lecture and program, I'm very safe here. My name is AK, but you might be thinking that this AK-47 is going on around me because the noise and so forth. And I'm sure you could hear it on the radio as well. So obviously that is their celebration. So that is their thing. Why must we become an accomplice in that? So you know that to sell firecrackers, you're going to reach, you must remember, and the fireworks, the peak season on Diwali time, then Christmas time, the New Year time. So for us as Muslims, whether we like, we don't like, the fatwa verdict is, remember, it's haram and not permissible to sell it. You are then, you're increasing, you must remember, the wrong that is going on. And Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum, whoever imitates a nation, then you are part and parcel of them. And as authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al mar'u ma'a man ahabba, a person will be with whomsoever he loves. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed. So when you start looking, you start buying, you start selling all these items, then remember that it means that you are an accomplice in that crime. Likewise, Sayyidina Umar Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala used to say, and his fatwa and verdict is mentioned in Bayhaqi, ijtanibu a'ada Allahi fi eedihim, stay far, far away from the enemies of Allah during their festivals and celebrations. So therefore, even if they send you some food and something, because you must remember it's a celebration, it's a festival, religious. So therefore, it's not permissible for you to partake of that. Give it to your non-Muslim maid or whoever else you want to give non-Muslim. But for us as Muslims, that would not be acceptable.
Ustad, to wish them?
Wish them same thing. Remember that is unacceptable, not permissible. If somebody tells you Happy Christmas, Happy Diwali, Happy New Year, you must tell him Hadakumullah, Yahdikumullah, may Almighty Allah guide you to the truth.
I see Gerald is back with us this morning. He says, sir, they say that dogs are so much better than some people. They never practice what they preach. So Gerald says, Ustad, can you please deliberate more on such people? Ustad, Gerald.
Remember that Gerald, this world and this universe and creation, especially human beings and jinn are the invisible creation whom Almighty Allah created from the smokeless fire, and Almighty Allah made this human being, and jinn mukallaf gave us these duties and functions. So it is not a utopian world that everybody will be perfect. You will find good, bad, happy, sad, everything you will find. So remember that you praise the dogs. So remember, a dog is a companion, a dog is a guide, a dog is a guard, all that. But remember, the dog has the quality of greed also. That if you see the pack of dogs and you throw there a bone or something and let another dog come from the other side, they all will gang up on that one dog and kick him out. Remember that. So that is what they do. So therefore, in Islam, we say to have a guard dog, to have dogs for hunting, all that permissible, but pet dogs are not permissible. You see the Western culture, the dog is walking in front and the person at the back. No. So in Islam, we don't want the dog culture, remember that. You know, Al-Imam Shafi'i, one of the great jurors and scholars of Islam, like how we all agree in Islam, the swine and the pig and the khinzir, remember, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side is najasul ain. Every part of it is impure. So Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, who was born born in Palestine, in Gaza, in the year 150 after Hijrah, after migration, and he passed away in 204 in Cairo. He only lived for 54 years. He used to say, even Al-Kalbu Najasul Ain. He used to say, even the dog is bumper to bumper, top to bottom, side to side, impure. So because of some of the terrible qualities it has.
I see the sister says here that, good morning, sir. Am I a two-faced if I follow Islam and deny Christianity? I am a Christian, sir, and I go to church as well with my parents, but my heart is not there. My name is Judy. I'm just afraid the day I accept Islam, my parents will throw me out and I will lose everything. Ustad.
Sister Judy, remember life is a test and a trial. So you have to follow your inner conscience. Definitely not. You will not be a hypocrite or a two-faced and so forth. You need to go to the noble Quran and read chapter 8, Surah 8, Surah Anfal, and verse 38. Make a note of it, Madam Judy. And what will you find? You will find chapter 8, verse 38. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَلْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. You tell them, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habibullah, O Prophet of Islam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon you. Once they abstain and refrain from kufr and shirk, from blasphemy, polytheism, and embrace Islam, yughfal lahum ma qad salaf, their sins of the past are forgiven, and meaning that Almighty Allah has forgiven them. The Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came as a mercy to the entire universe, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, chapter 21, verse 107, elaborated and explained it further. إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ. Islam expunges and erases the sins of the past. You pray to Almighty Allah that Almighty Allah softens the heart of your beloved parents. And remember, you should embrace Islam. But before that, you must explain to them that this is your decision, that is your inner conscience, and so forth, and that is your conviction. And regarding they might threaten you, intimidate you, that they will expel you or they will disown you, remember that is when we turn more and more to Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah places us during difficulty, places us under some difficulty, so that we turn more and more to Almighty Allah. Let's take worst case scenario, they disown you. Then what happens? You must remember that you should not be the one to be perturbed and concerned. You should be praying for them. Oh, beloved Allah, grant my beloved parents the beauty of Islam as well. Show respect to them, notwithstanding the fact that they are non-Muslim. This is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 31, verse 15. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If somebody's parents are non-Muslim, then remember that we must still show them respect and so forth, although they are non-Muslim. So that is the beauty of Islam.
Ustaz, Sister Ronel wants to know from you that did you hear of Modi, who actually replied to Mr. Imran Khan? That's what she says, of Pakistan. And Mr. Modi says that we respect each and every religion. Those who are hurting the Muslims and Islam, they are thugs. That has absolutely nothing to do with us. Mr. Modi, Ustad.
Remember that Maulana Zakaria just came to fetch me, Allah reward him. Regarding Modi and company, they should be the last people to speak. Ask him when he was the premier and he was the governor there in Gujarat. Thousands of Muslims were slaughtered under his watch. That time, who were the thugs? That time, who were the mob? I am not saying that. Go ask the American regime. After that killing, murdering of the Muslims, the American said he will not be an issue. He will not be issued a visa to come into America and so forth. You can go read it up. Gujarat, Modi, the massacre and all these type of things there. And now suddenly when the world saw the true colors of the Hindu terrorists, the Hindu fundamentalists, and what they are trying to do there under him and his party, the BJP and the RSS already slaughtering the Muslims and raping the women in their thousands, which happened in Kashmir and other places. So remember that he's getting disgraced and so forth. So he says he respect. You know, politicians, they just speak with a twisted tongue. So remember, let me be honest about this. This morning also, I made dua. Oh, Almighty Allah, all these people who are harming the Muslims and slaughtering them, massacre upon massacre, genocide in Palestine or Syria or Kashmir or India or any other place, you guide them, and if there's no guidance for them, you decimate them and destroy them and make them ibaratul lil mu'tabirin and make them a sign for people that Almighty Allah shows people when you mess around with other people or with Islam, then the same thing will happen to you that happened to Ariel Sharon. 8 years he was in Sakarat, in Comatose, and day after, good riddance, straight to hellfire.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, from Swaziland, Mufti Sahib, is there anything happening at the moment in Aqsa, in Palestine, Ustad?
Every day there's something happening there. The media that is controlled by the Zionist majority of the media of the world, they are silent. And our Muslim, the Arab countries and Muslim countries are like puppets, you know, that majority of them. They will side with the Israelis and so forth. Yesterday I read something very interesting. Our diplomat from South Africa, he tried to intervene there with them, you know, and tell them that you Jutlas, you Jews, you settlers, what are you doing? That this land here belongs to the Palestinians, this olives belongs to them. So what you want to steal their olives and so forth? They even harmed him and told him nonsense, and the Palestinians every day. For them, if they don't harm the Palestinians, any day is an abnormal day. So it's a norm day, you must remember, that they must cause harm to the Palestinians. And Almighty Allah speaks of this in the Noble Quran. In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, then you are doing good for yourself. In asatum falaha. And if you do evil as they are doing, then this calamity will come back to you, and time alone will tell us that where you'll be decimated and where you'll be destroyed. So remember, in a case like that, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will destroy them.
Ustad, there's a revered brother, he doesn't want to say his name. He says that I have abandoned Islam, because I see many, many Muslims who don't even make salah. So I haven't found solace in Islam because of all the restrictions. So I decided to go back to Christianity. Now everybody says that I will rot in hell. Ustad.
Remember, we answered this question already before. If you don't find solace in Islam and so forth, then that is your problem. It's not our problem that. You need to question your sincerity. You need to question your commitment and so forth. Millions of people have brought Islam, entered into the fold of Islam. Not only have they found solace, but they made so many other people Muslim and so forth. The example, my brother, sister, is you open the tap full glass, but you turn the cup, the glass upside down. So nothing is going to go inside. You must remember that. So in a case like that, what will happen is that the people, that the person, remember, who keep the glass, the cup properly, so Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make it such that, inshallah, that the glass will get full. So if you are sincere and you are such, that in a case like that, that Almighty Allah will give you the true faith. But if you come in half-heartedly, then you can't blame the Muslim. You can't blame Almighty Allah. We only must blame ourselves for these type of things.
Ustad, we can't hear you so clearly. So if Ustad could maybe just move a bit there. Somebody says right, here, Ustad. Right. Somebody says here, good morning, sir. I am a non-Muslim as well, and I do respect all religions very, very much. It is stated by your religion, sir, that Muslims can't eat slaughtered food from non-Muslims. So, sir, does it mean that I too can't eat slaughtered food from Muslims? Brother Kenneth, Ustad.
You must remember that for Islam, in Islam, we are very, very strict regarding our dietary laws. And we say that kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. A Muslim must consume that which is halal and lawful, and that which is, you must remember, tayyib and wholesome and pure. Then only will the person remember, enjoy the righteous deeds. Kulu min tayyibati wa amalu salihah. Do the righteous deeds and you will be motivated to the righteous actions. So therefore, a Muslim has to be very careful what he consumes, whether it is solid, whether it is liquid. Regarding non-Muslim, that is up to you, which faith you follow. If you follow the Jewish faith, they have their own kosher laws. But what makes a mockery of it is they have kosher alcohol. People of other faiths, Hindus will say that they must eat vegetarian, but you know many people don't adhere to that. Like in Islam, many people don't care also. They will eat and drink and anything. So you find this across the board. So that is your choice. You must remember that what you want to do, that do you want to follow your religion or not, that's up to you. But we speak about Islam. So in Islam, you must remember the criteria will always be halalan tayyib. It must be lawful and must be pure and wholesome.
I see Brother Gabe, he's with us this morning. He says, I really enjoy your answers. But you know what, sir? I pay for everything I own. Everything I own, I pay for it. My dad left his business on my name. However, he has passed away 20 years ago and I abolished the business. So yesterday I received a note stating that I owe 2 million rand in taxes for the business or face jail sentence. So, sir, the law is even lawless. What are my rights? Ustad, Brother Gabe.
So, I don't know what all the facts are. If your father passed away, and you must remember that you are the heir and you inherited his empire, did he pay taxes? Didn't he pay taxes? So you need to contact his accountant or his people who are his CA and who are in charge and so forth. And in that way, you go through it. To cut the long story short, we all know the government is going to tax us till death. So in a case like that, what you should do is that you can pay with interest money. You know you got interest, so you don't have to pay with your own capital. You use that interest money. I tell my Muslim colleagues and friends also that the government just wants their money. They don't worry whether you get it from halal and legal Islamically and lawful, or you get it from interest which is haram, unlawful in Islam. So in a case like that, remember, that is my advice. Okay, Maulana, yes, slat is 4:35. I have to go now. And inshallah, we have a program here after the Fajr Salat in the Pearl Musalla. And inshallah, 11:05, we'll link up with you with the khutbah from Makkah. And then the Jummah Salat in Newlands Masjid. And then Asr time in Masjid al-Nur. Ashawal for the Nikah. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.